Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
What spoils this simple sequence of humility, holiness, and happiness is what later he goes through the rest of this chapter 13, is the hypocrisy that shows up with Judas.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we continue today, Pastor Herron will share with us God's formula for genuine fellowship in a sermon from John 13 called Table Conversations.
Jesus here in John 13, this was, I think, to be Thursday. This whole week was very busy. Sunday, we do know, was the triumphal entry. Jesus came into Jerusalem there on a donkey and prophesied as such, and here he is now, the king. Let me read John 13, and I'm just going to kind of read through this particular story, but a reality that happened. And in this, I think it'll help us to understand what Jesus lays out very simply, and I want to point out to you what I see to be God's formula for genuine fellowship, because this is what he wanted these disciples to enjoy, fellowship with him, the joy of serving. And he said it to them in this way, John 13, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world into the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. After supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel, and he girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded." If you can understand that, really what Jesus was doing was establishing the first of three very simple sequences to successful difference-making, which was his own humility. And it really shows up in the relationship between he and the Father. He was very submissive to his Father. He was willing to lift up the Father and make him glory given to him. And Jesus, in his own way, used this humility that was really not born out of poverty, but out of riches. He was yet rich, but for our sakes, he became poor. Jesus now did the very thing that was so unexpected. Notice in the text, verse 6 through 11, because you not only find his humility, but you also find a second part of that sequence, which is now holiness. That's what he was introducing. Jesus was to the Father in his humility, and Jesus now also was to Peter. You see, for humility, you're submitting to one another as Jesus did to the Father. But the holiness is what he was illustrating with the washing of the feet, Jesus with the disciple Peter. And he was really emphasizing to keep your life clean. That's really with the point of verse 6 through 11. He says it this way, "Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but you shall thou after." He says, you don't get it now, but you will later. Trust me. So verse 8, Peter says to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I wash you not, then you have no part with me." And of course, Peter, Mr. Reactionary, then he goes to the other extreme. Simon Peter says, "And well, Lord, not my feet then only, wash my hands and my head." And Jesus says to him, "He that is washed," it's the idea of bathing completely, cleansing in essence a deep wound. He says, "He that's washed needs not save to wash his feet," which is the idea of just a small cleansing. "But it's clean, every one of you, but you are clean, but not all," referring to Judas. So he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, "You're not all clean," talking about Judas. So after he had washed their feet, he took his garments, he said, was down again. Then he said to him, "Know ye not what I've done you? You call me Master and Lord. You say, well, I am. If I then, your Lord Master, has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And he's really emphasizing the area of holiness. We don't have time to get into it all, but the brethren, which is a section of, I think, born-again people, but they would, every time they have communion, have foot washing. They take this text and believe that this is what they should do every time. It's set as an example or a type. The reality is this was very common in its day. It was a very cultural thing. For many families, they would go to the public baths, they would wash, and the way back, their feet would get dirty. And so anybody knew of any size home that when you showed up at the home, your sandals would come off, your zoris would come off, and there'd be someone there, those most lowly servant or slave, to put a basin and towel and water and wash your feet. And so for Jesus to do this was a symbol and a sign to help them understand, I'm just using this as a picture, a physical picture, to be able to show an inner attitude that Paul, he's saying, Peter, listen, you don't even have me have a whole washing, illustrating of Old Testament allusions to the priests that would wash before they would serve the Lord. But the daily cleansing, in essence, for you being saved once, but every day having a clean conscience and a clear life and a pure life to being honest, that's humility, that's holiness. And then thirdly, he also mentions the idea of happiness, because when you end up living a life of humility by service, it will end up being expressed out of a life of holiness, a willingness to do what is right and be pure and honest with people. Then that leads to an element of happiness. And really, it's a result. It's not something you pursue, but it comes from, as Jesus had with the disciples. And that's the other relationship that he mentions in verse 16 and 17. Verily, verily, I'm saying unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He said, I'm not one to be any greater than you, but he was. And therefore, he says, verse 17, if you know these things, in other words, not just knowing them, but applying them, then happy are you if you do them. It's such a simple principle, but I want to highlight it because really that leads then into the betrayal. What spoils this simple sequence of humility, holiness, and happiness is what later he goes through the rest of this chapter 13 is the hypocrisy that shows up with Judas. And we know that Judas ends up leaving and doing the business to betraying our Lord, which at the end of the evening, he is betrayed. The idea of that happiness of Jesus with the disciples really was because they were enjoying obedience. They were doing what they were built to do. And Jesus was illustrating, listen, if I do it as your Lord, then you as a servant should do the same. And the greatest joy that you will find is being able to serve other people. You say, how does that flesh out on our day-to-day living? I think it does, because if you find your great burden to be able to help and serve other people, you'll end up finding that God will end up, through your expression of humility, your willingness to live honestly, and a holy life that God flows through you, then you will end up being happy. And let me illustrate it with this. There was a young lady named Michelle who years ago was a student. Actually, she was a freshman that we met at the college that we were working at Northland many years ago. She had come. We got to know her. She was actually was auditioned and very talented piano player. And she ended up on the what we called the Northern Lights, which was the name of this music group. And the first couple of weeks, we saw her, she seemed to be happy, and everything seemed to be fine, but there was just something that was not right. And we couldn't put our finger on it, but it was a small school. And eventually, in one of the meetings that we had, she came, my wife and I, she said, you know what, things just aren't right. So what do you mean? Things aren't right at home. My father's unsaved, my mother is saved. I came from Minnesota, and she said, when I left, my dad wasn't happy. He really didn't want me to be here. But I came because I wanted to serve God and I wanted to do what's right. And she said, you know what? I cannot get that out of my mind because my relationship with my father, I love him so much. He's unsaved. I want to see him saved. She said, it just weighs on me. And you could tell it in her countenance. And so against what probably be traditional conservative counsel to her, this is what we said to her, Michelle, this is just our opinion. If you want our advice, we think you should leave school. Leave school, go home, and settle things with your father. If that means you have to leave school permanently, so be it. She prayed about it, and that's exactly what she did. She left. She went back to Minnesota, had called her parents, told her what they was coming to do. So she went back. And over the next less than a month, she actually, her dad didn't even want her to go to church. She didn't go to church. She said, Dad, I want you to know that if you really didn't want me to be at school, I'm not going to come to school. I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to serve you. And so for almost a month, that's exactly what happened. He asked her to do this and do that, and that's everything he said to do. I will do that, Dad, whatever you want me to do. I want to serve you. I want to see you come to know my Lord like I know him. And eventually then he said, I want to let you go to church. She went to church. Her attitude changed. She had asked him forgiven for her attitude and not being submissive and willing to do whatever you want me to do. And out of that short period of time, her father came to church with her, and he responded to the gospel, and he got saved. She spent the rest of the semester there at home working for her father, wanting to see a great change in his life. After getting saved, he started coming to church on a regular basis, and out of her picture of humility, of a holy life, and a clear conscience, she had a real happiness because happier you if you do these things. That's exactly what happened. You know, to her own shock, and she never brought it up, by the end of the semester, he came to her and said, you know, honey, 4 months ago, you wanted to go to that Bible college, and I said, you can go. I don't really want you to go. You pay for it. He said, I really know now who Christ is, and I saw the change in your life. You were willing to give it all up to come back and be a part of our family and serve. I come to know the Lord now through your example, and I want to take you to Bible college. If you want to go back, I want to get you back in Bible college, and I'll pay your whole way. And over the next 4.5 years, that's exactly what happened. I'm going to tell you something, teenagers. I know that your mom, your dad, for some of you, are not right, don't want to do right. They allow you to come, wonderful. If you are willing to serve them, God promises he'll bless you. It's not according to what you think or I think. God says, listen, you humble yourself, you serve. People will see the difference. You'll make a difference. I'm so thankful. This became the illustration that later he said, I want to ordain this. I want you as a part of the church body to express this regularly so that you would not forget my ultimate sacrifice, going to a cross, giving his life in a painful, crucified life in order to conquer death and sin and give us life.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.